Good morning, junior hires. My name is Shane. I'm the junior high pastor here at Mission. I know I've met a lot of you, but some of you I haven't, so welcome. We're so glad that you're here hanging out with us today. I don't know if you came with a friend or you're just new to the church or whatever, but we are so excited that you're hanging with us. We hope you have had fun so far. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are said in this book. This is the Bible, and we believe that this is incredibly important. We believe that this is the Word of God, and it can apply to our lives, to your lives as junior hires living 2,000 years after Jesus walked the earth. So today we're starting a brand new series. Maybe you've seen it on social media. We're starting a brand new series called It's called Spark. Brand new series. And if you're sitting here, you're like, what is a series? Like, I know what TV series are. I watch those. But what are you talking about? A series is a course of several weeks focused on one topic. So over the coming weeks, we are going to center on one idea, on one big concept that I truly believe will apply to your lives. I really mean this. I think over the coming weeks, this series, the things that we're going to be talking about, actually have the potential to change and to shape the way that you look at your life. And you're sitting here like, yeah, right, man. I mean, come on. That can't be real. You're going to talk about something. I believe it. I believe it. And after we discuss some things today, I'm going to tell you how it could actually have that type of impact. See, over the coming weeks, we're going to focus on five sparks. Five sparks that can ignite our faith, that can ignite a growing faith in Jesus. We're going to see how God can actually grow our faith, grow our belief in Him through all sorts of different life situations. But here's my question for you as we begin today. Have you ever just observed a fire? Like, raise your hand if you've just been caught staring into a fire, whether it's like a candle or a fire pit or anything. Have you ever just stared at, observed a fire? I know I have. I'm obsessed with this. I don't know if it's because I'm a guy or what, but I like fires. I like burning things. I like big explosions. It's just my thing. I'm into it. It's fun. And here's the thing. Every single fire you've ever seen has started with a spark. Every single fire you've ever seen has started with a spark. Just something small that ignited this giant flame, that ignited this giant fire. Some of us know this better than others. In fact, there's a guy that works here at the church. He's one of my friends, and he's experienced this firsthand. So just like any manly man would do, he was going out to prepare a nice meat dinner for his family. He killed the cow himself. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. That'd be weird. Come on, man. He went to the store. He bought a steak, and he went out. Sorry, vegetarians. I'm completely offending you. He went out, bought a steak, and then he went to his grill. He went to his grill in the backyard. He started it up. He closed the lid because he was allowing it to heat. He wanted it to get to warm so he could bring the food back out and it could cook. That's how grills work. They cook our food. So he goes out, starts the grill, closes the lid, walks back inside to prepare the steak. And then he comes back to the grill with the steak ready, right? He's like, I'm just hungry. I'm a grill master. My family's going to love this. They're going to love me because I make the best steak around. And he walks out there and he opens the lid to see that the grill hadn't actually started. Nothing had ignited. So in that moment, he's like, oh, okay, well, I can fix this pretty easily. If you've ever used a grill, guys, girls, you can grill too. If you've ever used a grill, you know how it starts. You hit the igniter switch, right? You hit the igniter switch and it starts a spark. So as any brilliant man would do, he walks out to an unlit grill thinking that he had started it, but the flame's not working. And he's like, okay, I can fix this. I'm going to hit the igniter button. But what he didn't realize is that the first time he went to the grill, he had actually turned the gas on. So the gas to the grill, you know, the whole thing that actually makes the grill ignite, the gas was running the entire time he was inside. Needless to say, his spark ignited something. His spark ignited maybe a little bit more than what he thought it would. In fact, his spark not only ignited the grill, but it ignited his eyebrows, his facial hair, his hair, and his skin. And I know that this is really bad to like laugh about, but he's okay, so we can laugh at him for it. The entire week, I saw him that evening. His eyebrows are like gray. They're singed. Like, what happened to you, man? He's rubbing like burn cream on his arms all week. Like, dude, you never used a grill before? He forgot that he had started the gas and boom, right in his face. But he's okay. Again, so we can laugh at him. It's all right. But that spark ignited a little bit more than what he thought it would. It caught fire and it lit. He knows that concept of a spark igniting pretty well. Probably a lot better than most of us. Do not try that at home. I'm looking at this section right here, boys. But for others of us, we know that on the other hand, sometimes sparks don't ignite. I know this firsthand. See, this past fall, I went to the one and only Walmart, and I grabbed myself a nice little fire pit. Loaded it up in the car, got some firewood. I would have chopped it myself, but we don't have any trees here. Plus, I'm not strong enough to throw an axe around. So I went to the store, bought a fire pit, took it to the backyard. And I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing. Heather and I, we can put the baby to sleep, and then we can just sit out and enjoy this lovely fire pit. It'll keep us warm. We can stare into one another's eyes. We can fall deeper and deeper in love. What are you laughing at? This is what fire pits are for. Like, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be romantic. This is going to be awesome. But then I put the logs in the fire pit. And I get my little lighter, and I'm trying to light this thing. And it goes from this romantic dream of staring into my wife's eyes to me wrestling this fire pit and these logs like they're an alligator. Going, I can't get this thing lit. I'm stuffing newspaper. I'm grabbing trash out of the trash can. Like, let's get this thing going. And I cannot get the logs to burn. Like, what in the world is happening here? My spark will not ignite. I'm not kidding you. The only thing that lit fire was newspaper. And there's ash flying all over the backyard. Our dog Duke is just like covered in gray soot, looking at me like, you're an idiot. Get this fire started, man. But for some reason, I can't do it. So I get frustrated. I give up. I go inside. And I YouTube a picture of a fire and just stare at that all night. But for some reason, my spark won't ignite. So here's the question. What's the difference that causes one spark to ignite and the other to just dwindle away? What's the difference between the two sparks? Here's what I believe. Whether or not a spark ignites is determined by the conditions around it. Just think about the two situations. One is an idiot operating a fire pit with newspaper. I never was in Boy Scouts. I don't know how to start a fire. I don't know how that works. So I think you just hold a match to it and then the log goes up in flames. Apparently that's not how it works. The conditions around that log weren't right. The wind blows the right way. It blows the spark out. The newspaper doesn't catch fire. It's gone. The wood isn't dry enough. It's not going to work. But then the conditions surrounding the grill is that it has fuel. It has the right amount of oxygen. This thing is ready not just to light, but to explode and burn your eyebrows off. The conditions were right around the grill. See, I'm using a different word picture this morning, but Jesus tells a very similar story in the Bible. In fact, we'll see that our faith oftentimes works just like a spark. Our faith oftentimes can either ignite or dwindle out. If you have your Bibles, turn them to Luke chapter 8. If you need a Bible, we're going to hand some to you. We have some adult leaders. Throw your hand up in the air. We'd love for you to follow along, read with us. There's no shame in this. If you don't have a Bible, keep the one we're about to give you. We're also going to put the verses up on the screen so you can see them there as well, because we probably don't have enough Bibles for everyone. Sorry. It's not good. So you're turning to Luke chapter 8. We're going to see Jesus using a different word picture than what I just described. We're going to see Jesus explain the importance of the condition of our hearts. He's going to explain the importance of what's on the inside, of what's going on inside, of the condition of the deepest part of who we are. Because here's the reality, junior hires. Reality is, I believe every single one of you has experienced in some way, shape, or form one of the five sparks that we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. We're going to put them up on the screens. These are the five sparks that we're going to be covering over the coming weeks. Useful lessons, private practices, you being you, relationship goals, not like the mushy-gushy stuff that lasts like a week. Come on, junior hires. But like real, real deep loving relationships and serious situations. I believe every single one of you have experienced at least one of these five sparks that we're going to be discussing in the coming weeks. Maybe you're sitting here And you've been through some big life moments. You've been through some big things, good, bad, ugly, whatever it may be. You've faced some hard things. You've faced some great things. You've had some serious situations in your life. Yet you have no idea what God has to do with any of it. You go through those things and you're like, God was a part of, no, he couldn't have been a part of that. It was too painful. Maybe you've been listening to the words of the Bible for years. Yet you sit here and you're like, no, that doesn't have any good in my life. The stuff in that book, the stuff that we talk about, the stuff that the pastor talks about every week, that doesn't mean anything to me. Maybe you've had some people come alongside you and love you. Like really love you. And you look and you're like, yeah, but people come and go. Like, it'll be somebody different next year. Relationships aren't that important because they never, ever last. Maybe you've never seen the value of praying or reading your Bible or doing these other things that we talk about in here or encourage you to do. Maybe you just look at those things and go, that's just another list of do's and don'ts that Christians have. That's just another list of things that I should and shouldn't do. It doesn't actually do anything in my life. Maybe you serve at church, but you serve out of obligation. Your parents make you. They're like, we're going to be here an extra hour, so you're going to help with the kids. You're going to pass out water bottles. You're going to wave at people as they walk in. But you don't want to do it. Maybe you only talk about Jesus when you have to. And you don't fully understand the impact that it may be having on your own faith, on your own relationship with him. I believe that all of these types of situations have the potential to ignite your faith. And whether or not that happens, oftentimes depends on the condition of your heart. Just like the fire we talked about earlier. Whether or not these sparks ignite your faith depends on what's going on inside, the condition of your heart. So let's see what we're talking about as we read from Luke chapter 8 this morning. It's going to be on the screens behind me, but Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 4. It says this: while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. It's a story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears, let him hear. So instead of a picture of fire and sparks and flames and burning eyebrows, Jesus uses this picture of a farmer going out and sowing seed. He's throwing down seed to produce something. So a plant will grow. So a crop will grow. Some of the seed we see lands on a path that's often walked on. He throws the seed down and it's a busy street. It's right in the middle of the road. And if you know anything about how plants grow, which I'm sure a lot of you learned this year in school, if you know anything about how plants grow, if you throw seed on an area where people are just going to stand on it and smush it and destroy it and birds can fly in and eat it up, it'll never grow. It doesn't stand a chance. And then some of the seed falls on rocky ground. Rocky ground. And at first it sprouts up. It grows a little bit. But then it can't get any moisture. It can't survive. It's too dry. The conditions aren't right. It will never grow. It's a lot like our Arizona landscape. That's why we only have cacti. I don't know, whatever they are. Things don't grow in dry conditions. And then the last seed falls in this thorny ground, in the middle of these thorny bushes, in the middle of these other plants that choke it out. It tries to grow. It gets some moisture. It tries to grow. But then it's just choked out by these thorns. It can never make it. It can never find its way through, and eventually it withers away. But then there's a last type. Some of it falls on good soil. Some of it actually begins to grow and produce a crop and produce fruit and thrive and survive. See, I love that Jesus speaks to us in stories. I love that he does that. It's like he understands how we learn. I mean, after all, he did create us, so maybe he has some insight there. But maybe some of you are sitting here and going, man, that's a cool story. what in the world does it mean? Like, what does that have to do with my faith? What does that have to do with my relationship with Jesus? We're talking about a farmer throwing seed on the ground. What's interesting is that if you were to keep reading, you would see that his disciples, Jesus' closest followers, his closest friends, after hearing this story, after hearing Jesus say these things, had the same reaction. They look and go, man, Jesus, that's good, man. You tell real good stories. I have no idea what they mean. Can you explain? And Jesus, in his awesome way of doing things, in his loving way of doing things, actually gives us the explanation that we need. Jesus explains that all of this has to do with how we respond to what God is saying or doing in our lives. All of this is about our perspective of God, our perspective of him, and the condition of our heart. Let's keep reading and see exactly what it means. Luke chapter 8, we're going to pick up in verse 11. It says this. This is the meaning of the parable. Thank you, Jesus. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Maybe some of us in here have heard about this Jesus guy before. We've heard about this. We've heard the stories. Like every Christmas, every Easter, we know this little baby was born on Christmas, and we know that this man died on a cross on Easter. And then a lot of people claim that he rose again 3 days later. Maybe some of us have heard those stories, and it's sparked something in us. For some of us, it provided a spark. It kind of grabbed our interest, and we went, oh, yeah, okay. That's interesting. That's different than anything I've ever heard before. We know that other people say God is important. We understand that. There's friends in our lives. There's parents in our lives. There's relatives in our lives that go, yeah, God is important. And we get that. Some people really like this God guy. They really like him. We may even know that the way that God shows people to live is different than everything else around us. Maybe we know some people who say they're Christians, and they live differently than everybody else. And they make different decisions, and they're interested in different things, and they're not interested in certain things. And it's a spark. It causes us to go, wait a second. Maybe there's something more to this. I mean, who is this Jesus guy? What is this God stuff? It grabs our attention. So we hear about God, but then temptations come. Then other things come along that seem a little better than what this God guy has to offer. They seem a little more interesting, a little more intriguing. And we're like, no. Life is better lived if I'm in charge. There's other things out there. There's better things out there than God and what he wants for me. There's better things out there than living the way that my Christian friends do. I don't want to do that. They can't do all of these things. They choose to stay away from all of these things. And the temptations that we face and the decisions that we face cause us to go a different way. I mean, we experience a spark, but it doesn't stay lit. We experience a spark, but it doesn't ignite our faith. It doesn't last. It dwindles. It fades. Maybe it's a big deal for a moment, but then it's gone. Our hearts ultimately reject faith in God. Let's keep reading. Verse 13 of Luke chapter 8. It says, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Maybe some of us are more like these people, like this seed that was sown on the rock. We sit at church. We listen to our friends or our grandma talk about God all the time. We know every time we go to grandma's house, she's going to tell us that Jesus loves us, that God is important. You should read your Bible. I don't know if that's how your grandma talks. And we experience those things. And we like what we hear. We hear all these things. We hear how God works in other people's life. We're like, yeah, I'm down with that. This God guy, he seems pretty cool. I can listen to that. We experience a spark that grabs our interest, causes us to go, okay, if God is really like that, if he's really like the guy that my grandma talks about, he seems like a nice guy, and if he loves me, that's super cool. Like, yeah, I'll buy into that. I like that. I like that. The whole Jesus loves you thing sounds good. Maybe we even come back to church to hear more about God. We experience that spark and we're like, yeah, there's something good about that. I like that. I like that. And we come back to church. We're like, yeah, I want to hear more. I want to experience more. But then something happens in our life. Something tragic. Something that shapes the way we think about life, the way we look at things. Something happens and we go, wait a second. If God's going to allow that to happen to me, there's no way that he loves me. We experience some hard circumstances, maybe at home, maybe at school, with our friends, or with people who we thought were our friends. We go, wait, you're telling me that God cares about my life, he's in my life, but then these things happen? How could that kind of God actually love me, actually care about me? We experience these hard things. And we go, wait a second, if God isn't all about making my life good, making my life easy, then he's not for me. If that's not the way God works, then I don't want a part of it. The same thing happens. We experience a spark from a friend, from a loved one, from whatever, and we get excited at first, but then hard things come. Hard things come. And again, it just goes up in flame. It doesn't ignite. It doesn't take root. It doesn't last because the things of life seem way too hard. And if God isn't about making life easy, then he's not for me. The spark doesn't ignite your faith in him. Let's keep reading. There's another type of person that Jesus talks about. Verse 14. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So maybe some of us have gotten excited about the message of Jesus. I know we just came back from camp. Maybe we experienced something at camp. Maybe we come on the weekends and we sing songs together and we hear about this Jesus guy and we're excited. We're pumped. We're like, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. This Jesus guy, I love him and he loves me and I want to tell other people about it. We've experienced something real. We've experienced something exciting. And we're like, yeah, this is it. We come home, pumped. We go back to our schools, pumped. We go back to our friend groups and our teams, pumped. Because there's something cool about this Jesus guy. We experience a spark that gets us really excited. That gets us really pumped up. We like what we hear about God. We actually look and go, yeah, this Jesus way of living is worth following. That's worth following. I'll go after that. I'll do those things. I'll live that way. I'll love that guy. We come to church. We join a community group. We get involved in everything that happens here at Anthem. We come to the events. We come to the meeting. We do all that kind of stuff. We're at the Bible studies. Because we're like, yeah, I want this Jesus guy. This is for me. I'm cool with it. I'll live life that way. But then life happens. Life happens. And all of a sudden, we start caring more about our reputation than we do our relationship with God. Things come along. We're like, wait a second. You mean if I follow Jesus, I'm not supposed to hang out at those types of parties? I'm not supposed to talk like that? You mean that like my life is actually going to look different? Well, wait, I'm not going to be as popular anymore. My reputation is going to fall apart. I'm the funny guy at school. I'm the pretty girl at school. And you're telling me that if I follow Jesus, my reputation could change? My popularity could change? I'm going to start looking different? Not physically, but in my decisions? I'm going to start looking different if I follow him? We start getting consumed with our stuff. And we look at life and go, wait, everything in life needs to be about me. I care more about my popularity than I do following Jesus. Everything becomes about pleasure, about experiencing things that we want to, even though they're temporary. We look and go, no, that's better. We look and we go, I'm going to live my own life. I've got one to live. I'm going to do it my way. I know that there's this God thing. It was exciting for a moment, but I'm going to do things my way because I like it better that way. We experience a spark at camp or on a weekend or from a friend or wherever. We experience a spark for a moment. But then we get back into the normal things of life. We get back to school, sports, whatever. Our reputation. Our own pleasurable experiences. All of these things that are temporary get in the way. And for some reason, that spark that we experience does not ignite. It doesn't last. It's not connected to something deeper. The spark that we've experienced doesn't ignite to keep the flame of our faith lit. But for some of us, it's different. For some of us, it's different. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. Catch this, junior hires. If you haven't listened to anything all day, listen to this. Verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. For some of us, we experience the word of God. We experience however he's choosing to speak into our lives, this message of his love, and it begins to take root in our hearts. It begins to be real. It begins to mean something in our life. We experience Jesus through teaching. You come to church and you hear us talk about it. You experience it that way. Or maybe you've even seen God work in your life experiences or your situations or your circumstances. And you realize that he's something special. What's crazy is that you experience life just like the other three types of people we talked about. You go through the same things. You face temptations. You face hard times. You have relationships. You go through all of those same things, but for some reason, your faith sticks. You face peer pressure, pressure to just give in to things that are pleasurable for a moment. But your faith stays lit. You realize that God can use all types of things, even those things that would sometimes cause our faith, our spark to go out. He can actually use those to keep our faith ignited, to keep it growing, instead of causing it to go out. For those of you that maybe relate more with this last type of group, your perspective is different. When you face hard times or great opportunities or temptations or you get in a loving relationship or you understand what you should and shouldn't do, instead of blaming things on God, you ask this. You ask first, what is God saying to me? Instead of what does this say about God? You look at your situations, you go, what could God possibly be saying to me through this hard time? Through this relationship, through whatever. What could he be saying to me? Instead of going, what does it say about God? If he's going to let me go through this hard stuff, he must be a jerk. If he's going to let those types of things happen, he must not love me. If he's just going to list out what I should and shouldn't do, he's just another boss who wants to control everything. Instead of looking at him that way, we go, what could God be saying to me in the middle of this circumstance or situation? Your perspective allows your faith to grow when we realize that God is in control and no matter what we face, he can actually use it to show us that he loves us, to show us that he's important, to show us that he cares. See, you experience a spark wherever it may be. It could be the same exact sparks that we've talked about, the last three types of people, but for some reason, your spark stays ignited. Your spark doesn't go out. It burns. It grows. It stays stronger and stronger. We understand that no matter what life brings, God can show us something and grow us somehow. If you're like this last type of person, that's what you understand. That's what you get. You get that no matter what you face, no matter how hard it is, no matter how great it is, God can show you something and he can actually grow your faith somehow. That type of perspective provides fuel for a spark. That type of perspective is what keeps the spark lit. Because junior hires, it's only when we're connected to the source of faith, when we're connected to God, that we can have a faith that ignites and continues to grow. Just like the whole grill and fire log story and everything like that. When you're connected to a source, when the conditions are right, when you have wax to burn through, when you have a wick to keep the flame alight, when the conditions are right, your faith can grow. So junior hires, here's my challenge as you hear all of this morning. Here's my challenge for every single one of you as we begin to journey through this new series. Over the coming weeks, junior hires, hear me. Over the coming weeks, I want you to commit to looking at life through a new perspective. Whatever life brings, I want you to ask this question. Could God be igniting my faith through blank? Could God be igniting my faith through my circumstances? Could he actually be igniting my faith through what's going on at home? Could he actually be igniting my faith through my sports injury? Could he be igniting my faith through this new friend that I made at camp that really seems to love Jesus? Could he be igniting my faith through the words that I hear on the weekend? Could he be igniting my faith when I stay up late and make sure that I read my Bible or wake up early and make sure that I talk to him every morning? Could he be using those things to actually ignite my faith, to keep it lit, to keep it growing? So over the coming weeks, as we journey through this series, as we talk about these five sparks that have the potential to ignite your faith, I want you to look at your life through the lens of this question. No matter what you go through, no matter what you face, good, bad, or ugly, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through now, no matter what you will go through in the coming weeks, I want you to ask this question. Could God be igniting my faith through blank? Whatever it may be. Junior hire, before you blame God for your circumstances or you just give up on them altogether, I want you to consider how each of the sparks that we're going to be talking about has the potential to, or already has, ignited your faith. And I get it. There's some of you sitting here going, wait, I don't believe in this whole God thing. So just hold up a minute, man. I get you're excited about this, that whole wizard trick thing you did. That was pretty cool, but I don't even believe in God. So hold up. I don't think he's for me. Here's my challenge to you. If you're sitting here and that's you this morning, first off, I'm glad you're here. Second, I want you to come back. You're sitting here like, well, that is such a cop-out. He's just saying come back to church. No, hear me. I don't want you to just come back and sit and go through it again and hear it again and walk out again going, nah, whatever, man. I just come because my friends make me or my parents make me or whatever. As we talk about these five big sparks of faith, I want you to come back, but I want you to come back open to what God might be doing in your life. That's good soil. That's what Jesus is talking about, that you be open. I want you, if you don't believe in God, if this isn't for you, I want you to come back open to hearing and potentially understanding that no matter what you're facing in life, no matter how hard it is, no matter how great it is, God may actually be able to use it to show you that he's real and that he wants a personal relationship with you. If you don't believe, I want you to come back. But I'm going to ask that you come back open to whatever God might be trying to say to you, for however God might be trying to show you that he is real and that he does care about you. And for all of us, over the coming weeks, I want us to commit to asking, is the condition of my heart ready for a faith that grows? Is it right for a faith that grows? For every single one of us, every single one of us, I want us to come back over the coming weeks asking this question, considering this question, wrestling with this. is the condition of my heart ready for a spark to ignite a growing faith in Jesus? Junior hires, hear me. I want you to wrestle with and truly consider the implications of this question. Is the condition of your heart ready for a spark, whatever it may be, to ignite a growing faith in Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Lord, for just having grace on us. Even though we're messed up people, even though we make so many mistakes, even though like we fall walking sometimes because we're just human and we make mistakes, you still love us. This perfect, great God still loves us. And you use our circumstances. You use our situations. You use things in our lives to actually show us that you care, to actually show us that you're with us, to spark our faith. And God, I pray that this would be a room of people who have faith that has been sparked and then ignited. That they would understand and have a perspective of good soil. Have a condition of their heart that would look and go, what is God trying to say to me in the middle of this circumstance, in the middle of this situation? How could he be using this to grow my faith? I pray over the coming weeks that you would speak to each of us, however you choose. But Lord, that you would grow our faith. And God, I pray for those in here who maybe go, this isn't for me, I don't believe in God, that they would come back and just come back open. That's it. That's it. Just not closed off, not with any walls up, but just open to potentially hearing and understanding how their life circumstances, how their situations, how their relationships, how all those things may actually be something you're trying to use to show them that you're real and to show them that you want a relationship with them. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We thank you for your grace and we thank you that we can have faith in a living, loving God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.